I have one, dear. Thank you. Before we start this morning, I want to have a special prayer. And that's for Calvin's wife. Now, you probably don't know his name in English. She's here all the time, but I don't know her name in Chinese. Stella? Stella. Stella. Then you know who I'm talking about then. Yeah. Huh? The one that's got trouble with her face? Ujin. Ujin. Okay. She has, her face is very swollen. She's been to, she's in the hospital, I think, now. And I feel like we need to pray for her. She's in our class quite often, and she really needs our prayers. So let's just have a very special prayer for her. Father, dear, as we come before you with our sister, we know it's not easy when sickness strikes us. We're never aware of when it's coming, but you are, Lord. You know very well every part of us and every step we take. And we're praying for our sister today, Lord. You told us in our love toward one another that we care about one another, and we're praying that, Father, in your wonderful love, if it's your will, that you'll touch her, Lord. But, Lord, if this is something that has come her way, please give the doctors wisdom to understand and know what it is. We pray that you will be with the family. Watch over them, Lord. Help her to feel very near to you, Jesus. In thy name, amen. So maybe some of you can call or send a card or something. Maybe you can't call her, but anyway, some way to help her know that we care about her. I like my title, One Key to an Exciting Marriage. Isn't that a great title? You all look at me as if you think, who are you talking about? Well, truly, marriage is really supposed to be rather exciting at times. And actually, it's that something in us that really enjoys our marriage, that keeps us in, it really keeps us going and keeps our tank filled, our emotional tank filled. And it really is a wonderful part of life when we can really enjoy our marriage. You know, so many times, whether it's in marriage or whether it's in serving the Lord sometimes, or maybe whether it's in a job, we get sort of, it's a ho-hum thing. We do the same thing all the time. Go to work, get up at 6 o'clock, get my morning coffee, get ready and go off to work. And day after day, it becomes a ho-hum type of thing. And the same thing in marriage. We just go through the same cycles, and actually it's almost Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know what I mean? So sometimes we take everything for granted. Just this is the way we are. This is the way we live. But I believe God would like us to put a little excitement into our marriage. And I want to tell you that excitement isn't what the world calls excitement. They call the sexual life excitement. But that's not the excitement. The excitement is when you and your wife can become such good friends that you can talk to one another on an adult level. On a level where you, both of you, are gaining in knowledge and gaining in emotional fullness. That is really the excitement of marriage. One of the excitements of marriage. But we first must understand, and I've been thinking of, as I thought about this, I've been thinking that, you know, as much as the world like to say we're a unisex, that we're just sort of all men and women are pretty much alike, they're not. We're not alike by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. And so I want us to look at some of the unique ways that God created us, both men and both women, what kind of traits he has given us. And once we know what kind of traits, if we're willing to, we can begin to understand in a deeper relationship. Now, some of you, when you have grown-up children, it's a good thing to remember this too. Because when you have a son, that now is trying to make a way for his own life. And you just, I don't understand him, you'll say, because we need to learn about each other. Maybe it's a boss. You know, you feel sometimes that your boss is so abrupt. He doesn't really care. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know. He has no feelings, as we women like to talk about it. So it may be a good thing that as we look at this, it's sort of generic in this part, men and women, knowing ourselves. Now, men are actually task-oriented. Now, that is because God made man to be the provider and the protector and the one that is actually supposed to be the priest of the family. So he has given man the direct task of keeping the family together. And so man has this task-oriented thinking and way of talking. Now, we women are relationship-oriented. We just love to talk with our friends. We just love to have fellowship. When I say this, there's always the odd ones, the ones that aren't like this. But on the general rule, women love relationships. Sometimes we have so many that it's not good for us. But anyhow, we like relationships, and we talk on that level. Where man talks on the task level, we talk on the relationship level. So when men likes to use communication, likes to talk, likes to listen, to solve problems. Now, women aren't like that. Women like communication to build relationships. And if you stop to think, you'll see what I'm talking about. I've often used the particular examples here about the two men that came out of work and they were talking, and they walked out to their automobile after a very hard day of work, and the car wouldn't start. You know what that's like. Car won't start. I had an old Plymouth when I was teaching school, and one of the teachers, a gym teacher, she had a Plymouth too. And so I used to say, oh, in cold weather, almost every morning I said I had to pray that car to start. She said, I didn't pray. I did something else. I cursed it. So our communication, you see. But anyhow, they came out and they began to discuss what it was. Is it a clogged carburetor? Is it my filter is dirty? Has something happened to the starter? And so there are the battery first, of course. Maybe, as I was telling Sue Lynn, maybe it's out of gas. I've had my car stolen one time in my life. I was in the West Indies. I lived in an island called Antigua. And so during the night, I don't know how, because I had my car just parked beside my window. But during the night, some guys got it, pushed it down the incline there, and took off. Well, the next morning I woke up, my car wasn't there. So, of course, I called the police. Then I went on to school. Then the police came, and they said to me, we found your car. Very easy. That was wonderful. How did they, that was great. And I found out that they didn't get very far. They only got to the first highway and turned down that and didn't get far down that highway because it was out of gas. So I saved my car by being out of gas. So maybe the car was out of gas. So what do men do? They're trying to resolve what's wrong with this. And so the first thing they're going to do then is to talk it over. They want to try to see what it might be, to look it over, and to think about it. But women, here comes two women now, same circumstances, gets into the car, turns the key. Nothing happens. Man, they look at that thing. What are they going to do? I feel terrible. This is awful. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just have to get out and call somebody. So they do. They call somebody, and he says, well, take me a little time. And they said, let's go off to Starbucks. You see, that's the difference in women. They can take this situation and make it a time of fun to converse with each other and to have a little time of relationship company together in the midst of this trouble. Men are trying to solve the problem. Many times we women, we like our relationships and building our relationships. So what trouble should this be? It does bring trouble. Because a man doesn't understand why a woman doesn't want him to solve her problems. Or she's not looking for solutions. And women cannot understand why men are so cold. And they won't talk about how, you know, how they feel. So, because many times women will come home maybe from sometime they've been off with some of their girlfriends. Maybe a group of five of them are off together. Oh, we got another man here. He's doing good. Hey, yeah, you're walking pretty bold. I mean, you're walking pretty good. Yeah. And so many times when they come there, sometimes, you know, women, there are women that can really hurt one another just by saying some things that hurts. You men may not understand that. But we women have some trouble sometimes. There'll be one that may be a little jealous, one that feels maybe you have more than you deserve. And when you're there, she sort of sarcastically says something or says something that bothers your emotions. And when you get home, you're just feeling so bad. Well, your husband said, what's wrong with you? I tell you the truth. I don't know why that woman's that way. And so she's trying to tell him how this woman is toward her. And he's saying, oh, he said, if I were you, I would do this and this and this. He's trying to solve the problem. She don't want that. She wants you to say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Maybe put his arm around him and let her feel that, you know, she wants that emotional feeling that women have. They're not interested so much in the solutions. They have their own way of thinking. Hi, buddy. So we see then that this can make a difference because men and women really are different in the way they think. I've told you many times about how that when even in the area a man will think to himself, I want to go over and I need to get a wrench, about a quarter of an inch. I don't know if they have quarter of an inch wrench, but anyway, about a quarter of an inch wrench, I need to get one. So he goes out and he goes over to one of the hardware places and he walks in and he goes to the counter that has wrenches and he takes that wrench. He's thinking, that'll help me. That'll solve my problem. But a woman's quite different than that. Actually, when she goes, she sees a lot of things. She doesn't just look for what she needs. I'm terrible about it. I'll say to Mrs. Shee, and we come back from the ladies' meetings, and Mrs. Shee and anyway, we come back and we talk, Sue Lynn, and I'll say, just let me stuff at Publix. I only need I know just what I want, you know. I come out, I have more than I want because I saw a sale there. I looked, oh, I think I may need this. And all along, I'm picking up things. And it's a difference than what, that's the way the women think. And so we have to understand that. So let's look at the next thing we have to look at here. Women, for men, the primary component of companionship is to share information. You know, really, men have some friends, but usually they are friends that have gone to school with and your school chums. And you always are. Anytime you see each other, you're there, you meet each other. Sometimes you'll be, like if you play golf, you'll be golf friends. So when you see those friends, it's when you go play golf. And there's men have the sense that when they get together, they have a purpose. They're either golfing or they're gardening or whatever. This is what they're doing. And that's why they are more or less there to enjoy each other, but it's for a purpose. Now, women doesn't have to be like that. That's all right, buddy. Yeah, mommy's so good. Okay. But a woman, we have friends. There is no, maybe we meet each other at certain places. Or maybe we just learn how to talk into one another. And before you know it, there we are. Let's go to lunch. And then we'll have several. Well, I'll get my friend to go with us. And actually, they don't have to have any special interest in what they're doing. They just go to lunch or go shopping because they like that. That's because it builds a relationship. So that's actually what we do. Okay, now men, we said theirs is mostly for information, they talk. I think that's why so many men, you know, you don't understand from a counselor's point. To you, this may not be serious, but to us, it's among the greatest problems in marriage. They will come and say, my husband never talks to me hardly. All he does is, if he comes home, he gets the paper and he sits down and he grunts. You know, and you know, this kind, we never talk. We never converse on a level of relationship, you know. And so many women, this has become a very great hardship. And they lose, and they begin to pull away because of this. And that's one of the reasons I do want to talk to you today. I'm not sure that I can get it across the way I should. But anyhow, we have to understand that. For men, the man, he wants information, and a man will say, this is what it is. They don't go in a big spiel about it. Now, take a woman. When she begins to explain things, she'll tell them about the whole thing, how she felt, what happened, who was there. You know, we'll go on and on telling them about that. We enjoy that. That expresses ourselves. And we want to get that out. But a man, he says, what it is, it is. You know, he just tells a little bit, how did you do today? How was work today? All right. Then goes and gets his paper or goes to do something. Well, did you have a good day? Not too bad. And you have to pull, many times pull all this conversation out of them. We know they're tired. And they tell us in counseling that people, ladies, you should let your husband rest 3 hours. And then after he rests 3 hours, then you can talk to him. Because for those 3 hours, his mind is confused, he's tired, he wants to rest, he doesn't want to talk. But after 3 hours, it's better. So this is what happens. Now, there are some wives that do have husbands that like to talk. In fact, there are some wives that wish their husbands would keep quiet. And that, you know, so it really depends. But there's not that whole, it's not that many. Most of them just like to find information, just tell you the fact, and that's it. Okay. Women have a way of feeling about things. So she'll sit down and said, I feel like you don't care about me. He looks at her and he said, don't I provide for you? Well, that's not what I mean. You don't seem to have any real, well, you just don't seem to care about me. He said, why, what do you want me to do? And so you'll find that this kind of level of conversation is really a problem. Men want headlines. They want you just to tell them the facts. When the wife sometimes goes on and tells them about something that they really was some kind of a experience that day, they go through all. Many women go through all of it. She called me, and when she did, Aunt Betty was there and Martha was there, and she goes on and on with all kinds of things. They don't, men are not that way. They just want you to, bottom line, just tell us. They want to know what's in the fine print. Where a woman, when she wants to see the fine print. She wants to know what it's about. Explain yourself. And that's not really what a man wants. the man wants the details so that he can find a solution. Now we go back to the task-oriented man. They want to find solutions. And that's one of the things that we have to understand, ladies. Their mind works this way. They're not wanting to find any emotion out of it or anything like that. They just want to be able to solve the problem. And so we women, we're very connected with our relationships, and we feel that relationships enrich you. Sometimes women will say, my husband doesn't have any friends. Now, that seems like a very definitely hard thing for a woman, that her husband doesn't have friends. But a lot of times there are men who really don't want close friends. They go golf with Joe. They might go out to get coffee in the afternoon with Pete or something like that. But as far as many close friends, some of the men don't want that. And many times they may have a few very close friends. I mean, really buddies. And then when they go out too often with them, then their wives get upset. Well, you're always running around with them. Why are you always going out with them? So as women, we have to understand there is a difference in men and in women. Now, I wonder if you have any questions or if you have any comments about this or anything you have noticed yourself or with your wife or with your boss. You know, there's some bosses that all they want to talk about is just the fact. Did you get that done? Well, how are you today, Mr. So-and-so? I'm all right. I want you to get da-da-da-da. You know, they're just, you have to understand, they're just different. Anybody have anything? I wish you would discuss with me, but. Okay, have you found any of this to be true? As you stop to think, any of it true? So actually then, if we want to have better communication, there has to be adjustments on both sides. The men have to begin to realize that their wife needs a conversation on the area of relationship conversation. Example, you come home from work, and she says to you, how was your day? Well, I'll tell you the truth, it wasn't very easy today, because one of my workers didn't really come up to par, and I had to really tell him something. That made me feel bad. Now, that to a woman is wonderful. Wow. You shared your life with her. You really made her feel good. You gave her more than just a, oh, all right, you know, all right, you know. And just sometimes, men, if you can be concerned enough that you do a little more talking on the level of relationship. Even sometimes, if you could ever get to the place of intimacy where you and her can truly discuss things on an adult level. I find so many times in marriage, we can't discuss on an adult level because our little triggers get popped. And right away, the wife may feel like he's aiming at her, or he may feel like she's nothing, always pointing out his faults. He never does this or that. And you settle down for what I talked about the other day, a contentious woman and a man who just pulls himself away. And that's why I said conversation is one of the things that can make your life exciting. Make it enjoyable. Because you know each other, you understand each other better when you express some of the things. You know, that's why you can't hardly stand something about your wife. But you don't tell her because mercy, she'll just fly off the handle. But that's where our intimacy comes in, where we can sit down and talk maturely. And you can say, but you know, Ruth, I really feel like there's an area that maybe you can work, and you let me know if there's any area that I can work. You see, when you all begin to communicate like that, then you begin to really start enjoying one another. Or you say, Sister Schwartz, they won't. Yes, you can. I have come to one conclusion in my life. You can do anything that you want to do. Anything that you mean to do. And you know, about 80% or about 40% of everything we do is habit. You just do it out of habit. And once you begin to learn how to communicate with each other, and you keep doing it for a period of time, sometimes I don't think it would take much more than 10 days, you would begin to get the habit of it. That when you came home, it just wasn't a grunt. It just wasn't sitting down. It wasn't. And maybe when she knows that you're going to have a little conversation with her, she's not going to be ready to jump on you. So this is the kind of thing that we have to work out in our marriage. Marriage is like everything else in life. It's not easy. Marriage just doesn't come by putting it out like a while. You know, when we plant a garden, truly one who wants it to come up, they're very systematic. They do things. They really put it in certain areas and the best light for this and maybe this should be in the shade a little bit. They plan very carefully. But many times in our marriage, we're so haphazard. We don't plan. We don't really sit down and say, now, this is a problem. What can I do about it? You see, we have to learn, I cannot change the other person. So it may be that I must become flexible. I must be willing to change some things until they begin to see. Now, that's hard, isn't it? Very hard. But this is what the grace of God can do for us. We can get to the place where what I think isn't so tremendous that I've got to get it across. As I was telling them at the camp, we always feel that what we think is right. Have you ever noticed that? Now, how can everybody be right? Nobody be wrong. And this is many times where our problems come in. It's wonderful to be old because you recognize your mind is getting a little forgetful. So now, if somebody said, I said it, I said it. If I left something, I left it. I used to sort of argue myself about it, but I've come to the place now that I accept it. And I'm a little happier, I think. You know, it doesn't matter to me if, you know, that type of thing. So actually, we really need to express ourselves in our marriage. Now I want to see how well you know your wife or husband. Turn on the back. Now I want you to think a minute. What is your wife, or if you're a wife, what is your husband's favorite foods? You know? Anybody? You know? What's your husband's favorite food? Peanuts. Wonderful.
Every time we go to the store, always pick up a pack of
peanuts. Wonderful. Anybody else know your wife or husband's favorite food? Your wife's favorite food is chicken? So you like chicken, huh? Good. Do you know his favorite food? Anybody else know? We're just having fun now. He likes swordfish very much.
Anybody?
Shrimp. She likes shrimp, huh? There. So you see, this really begins to make me think, you know, maybe I'm not paying attention. Maybe I'm not actually talking over some of these things. I just cook. I don't really, you know, care. I mean, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't pay any attention to it. I'm very busy. I just have to keep my mind on something else. So don't feel bad now, honey. I shouldn't have asked you. Sorry. But you'll remember after this. Now let's see. What is your husband or wife's special gifts? That means, what are their special talent? What is their special that sets them off? I'm not going to call on anybody now. You just tell me if you want to. Stop and think, what is your wife or husband's special gift? Yes, that's right. That's Sharon's, that's her gift. Anybody else? You have a husband or wife, you know they have a gift? Some husbands might say, my wife has a gift of keeping trouble. Yeah. Anybody else know a special gift that your husband or wife has? Or special, yes, special gifts? Cooking? Oh, do you have a special gift of cooking? No, that's why you don't know what he likes. You just cook all these kind of things. He just eats them all if he thinks you have a special gift of cooking. But that's really, there are women who have special gifts of cooking. I have a friend in North Carolina, mercy days, for years and years. She has hosted many times large groups in her home. She loves to cook, and she's a tremendous cooker. So it is, it's a gift, a tremendous cook. It is a gift. I'll tell you, I don't have it. Anyone else? Special gift? You're thinking now. What was my husband's special gift? What was my wife's special gift? Anybody? You're afraid. Oh, they have some. They have some special things about it. Always may not be a good gift, like she's talking about criticism, but they have a gift for something. Maybe they have a gift to needle you. Okay, then let's go on to the next one. Special friends. Do you know your husband's special friends? Does your husband know your wife's special friends? What's that? They're your special friends. I'm talking about your husband or your wife. Maybe it's a good thing to learn your children's too. Keep an eye on your children's special friends.
The way to know special friends is by communicating each other.
That's right.
That's their secret, but just say how good the connections are and the stories that can be shared.
I imagine when your wife came home from those counseling classes, she had plenty to tell you. Do you remember? Yes, that's true. See, that's where I'm bringing in about communications. These are things that are communicated. When it comes to favorite foods, they say, oh, honey, I just love this. This is really... And maybe you go to the restaurant and you say, this is what I really love in a restaurant. And so as you converse together, then you begin to understand and you know. So all of these in a way is because we communicate. And I'm thankful that you said that this is the way we communicate. Now, physical touch. Now, I have a friend, he's a doctor. Now he's really the president. He used to be a pastor. He used to be a doctor. And he would say, I would pay my wife if she wouldn't try to hold my hand. Dr. Luke, he was so cute. He didn't want her to hold his hand. He didn't like that kind of touch, you know. And sometimes you may have little special touches. You like it when your wife pats you on the shoulder or gives your cheek or gives you a hug or gives you a kiss. It's wonderful to know what the other one really enjoys. So that physical touch. And as you converse about, oh, you know, when your wife is sort of scratching your back. Oh, honey, that feels so good. Oh, I really appreciate you scratching my back. She knows that's a good place to start. Okay, their favorite activity. Do you know what your wife or your husband's favorite activity is? It may be easier in a sense for a man to know, or a woman to know her husband's, because they do have activities. They have golf, they have this. Some women, their activities are not quite as pronounced, but... What'd you say?
Reading.
She likes... No, actually, yeah, they sit and read. It's her favorite activity. He knows you well, honey. That's good. He plays ping pong, does he? Or you? I know you do. You mean from him? Oh, you're an ace, huh? Oh, good. Anybody else? Favorite activity of your husband or your wife? You don't do it. Yeah, I believe it's in the culture, but it's not in the nature.
Well, we do need it.
You need it. Yes.
Each other needs some way to express. And I think if we are listening anything, just knowing we're together is good. But I tend to, I'm listening. You know, what are you doing? And even holding hands, doing that, so rejecting that. That was not good.
Yes.
I learned.
Yes. You know, I recognize that the Chinese are not, they don't touch much. They don't, that kind of thing. Until I had a group of Taiwanese. They came to our school. And there was about eight of them. No, more than that. Many more. But I worked with about eight or ten of them because we traveled together. They were a singing group. And I went along for the school with them. And as we traveled, I'm a very expressive person. I'll pat you on the back or I'll put my arm around you, you know. And the girls got to the place where several of them would come to say to me, "Mommy, I need a hug. Would you hug me?" Now, they realized what was in that did something for them. I don't understand it because I'm just that way. You know, but I like sometimes if somebody will pat me and say, "That's good, girl. You did well," you know. Is that right? But it does express something that words don't say. It expressed the fact that I put myself out, in a sense, just to be near you, you know. And if you don't like it, try to practice it a while. It won't take long. I know with my girls, it wasn't a whole year or anything, I don't believe. They just learned to like it. They learned to want to be somebody to care enough to touch them. And I read a book many, many years ago when I first started teaching, and it talked about touch and how it's so helpful to children. Whenever I was teaching, I would go along and I would say to one of them, I'd pat them on the shoulder and say, "Oh, you did well." And I would do that often with them. And I really feel like it makes a difference. You know, when you go along, "Well, that's pretty good, you know." But when you go up to them and pat them a little bit, it's almost like it really was good. You know, you express yourself. So actually, physical touch can be very therapeutic. I mean, wait, I'm sorry. How do I say that word? Yeah, thank you. Therapeutic. Well, once I get started, it's wrong. I can't get right. Therapeutic. That's a very therapeutic thing many times. when the woman doesn't feel well or doesn't feel like something's bothering her, and her husband comes up or pats her or sits down and puts his arm around her or gives her a hug, that really does something to a woman. You say, it doesn't to me. You try it for a while. You say, but I'm Chinese. Well, that's no different. You're a human being. You have feelings. It's only because you have made yourselves, because it has never been a cultural thing. You have withdrawn yourselves to that. I remember one of our girls that was in my group, she went home and she said, Daddy, I love you. He said, what are you trying to do, be an American? You understand? You understand that. But it doesn't make you any more Chinese to begin to learn how to express yourself in a communication of touch. For that is a communication. And, you know, I think this is what happens so many times to your children. When they're little babies, sweetie, you know. But as they start growing up, somehow we lose that touch. We lose that expression to them, and they need it so badly. So you have to understand, don't let your culture keep your natural tendencies down. Because, listen, many times when a young man lives in a home where there's very little expression and there's very little touching or anything of an expression, when they meet a girl, and their hormones start to go crazy, and they get that something in them, then sometimes they go overboard with it, you know? They haven't been taught the proper way, and they go overboard. So that is important. Now, the last one I want to talk about, because it's almost 12:30, endearing words. That means, sweetie, honey, I don't know what you do and say in Chinese, but it's just not Mabel, it's not Martha, it's not John, it's honey or dear. Can you get that for, this is American now. These are our endearing words. Honey, dear, sweetie pie, all kinds of little, or maybe sometimes, I have a friend that I really care a lot for him. He was sort of worked in our place and he got himself into trouble and I really love the boy. So whenever we correspond, he's Joseph and I'm Mary. So one time when we were working together, something happened about Joseph and Mary. So he was Joseph and I'm Mary. So still, when we write on Facebook, we say Joseph and Mary. You know, it's not an endearing word that I'm talking about. He's my boyfriend. I'm just saying it's an endearing word that he knows that I care about him. Very simple. And is there any words that you have for your husband except his name? Any words you have for your wife instead of her name? And if it's not good, don't tell me. Anybody want to share it? Or is that too personal?
Sometimes say sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But sometimes it's
eight. That's it. I don't think you're as used to either using endearing words in the Chinese culture. But it does have a nice connotation. It's a nice communication once you get it. Actually, I have to tell you the truth. I have a very good mind for numbers. I can really remember numbers. But when it came to names, all my life, I've had a terrible time remembering people's names. Yeah. And then, of course, in the line that I'm in, I meet people once or twice. They remember me because I may have been a speaker or something, but I don't remember them. So when they come to me, you know, and they just look like, I'll say, oh, how are you, my dear? It's so good to see you. I may not say it's good to see you, but at least I make them feel like, well, I'm not a stranger, you know. And that's been with people I've known their names, but I can't remember. Honey, sweetie, I used to call, you know, these kind of names. But when it comes between a husband and wife, there's something very sweet about an endearing name because it makes you, it's special. Sometimes it can even, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead. No, I'm finished.
I was just thinking, the new thing, seeing as men is different, not the relational, you know. mm-hmm. and the task given. I was thinking, does God make men to work primarily? That is God's purpose, or God does want us men to be relationally more developed, which can be missed. We have don't talk as the default, as the way mm-hmm. that you just pass information.
I think your brains work that way, but the one thing he wants you to be is priest. And priest is a very deep relationship. And so in the spiritual part of your family, or even as a leader in your family, you'll never maybe be able to be a conversationalist like your wife. Your wife is great at it, but at least you're going to try your very best to satisfy her and to let her see that she really means something to you. You know, we don't even like to say, I love you, you know, many times. But how do we let our wife know that she's special? How do you let your husband know that he's special? You really should be. That's why I say it's an exciting thing, communication. It may not be to just even say honey or sweetie, but maybe another little name that you all have used sometime, or you feel like she just likes somebody. Oh, and give her a name, a special name, that she knows that it's an endearing type of thing she has. But these are some of the things that really make the marriage more exciting. Well, thank you all. You go have your coffee. You might have some dinner too, but have your coffee for me. Oh, that's...